We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Join Zach Krantz and 560 WQAM tomorrow, 2 till 4, Gunther Kia, for their summer sticker sales event. It's going on through May 31st. That's Zach Krantz tomorrow, 2 to 4, Gunther Kia. Why are you smiling?
I'm silly.
That I know.
I don't know what way my headphones are supposed to be. They're angled. It's weird, man. Just that one flat headphone.
I constantly am looking where the R and the L is on my headphones. I'm constantly.
You can feel it, though.
I don't want it to matter, though. Give me flat headphones. I don't want these angled-ass headphones. You bought these for me, too, Lero.
Yes, I did. You're welcome.
Look at you.
So Ira Winderman is going to join us here. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. We had Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel on yesterday, and we have a theme song for him, and Ira had texted us during the segment, how come I don't have a theme song?
Oh, play for a little jealous.
Yeah. I mean, he wants, he's been coming on the station a long time. And, you know, like, he goes on Mike Francesa's show. Like, Ira's a big deal when it comes to radio, and he doesn't have an intro. For people that haven't heard the Omar Kelly intro, here's a little bit of it. Omar Kelly, do-do-do-do-do, Omar Kelly, do-do-do-do-do, Omar Kelly, do-do-do-do-do, Omar Kelly. From the Sun Sentinel. All right, you get the idea. It's Baby Shark, but it's set to Omar Kelly. And so yesterday on the air, I said, Ira just texted us. You know, he wants an intro. And Falero says he has one. So go ahead, fire it off. Sounds Jewish.
Huh?
Ira Winderman. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman. Ira Winderman. He covers the NBA.
Over, under, or less than 2 minutes to put it together, but Hoss, you failed to realize one thing, and you can explain it to our friend Channing. This means I could never go on after sundown on Fridays anymore.
What happened?
It's a great point.
You can't play that music
Lucky
after sundown?
Lucky it's the summer. No, but a good Jew has to shut it down sundown on Friday. Did you like that, Ira?
I am overwhelmed by the effort that you guys put together to put that together.
Oh, you mean you're verklempt?
So to get even with you, I will phrase it this way. It's wonderful to be joining you guys at this time of day.
Well done. There you go. Now Ira has an intro. I enjoyed that very much. All right.
Meanwhile, does it surprise you how much sports radio I listen to? That most guys in our business, Hawk, and I don't think he was talking out of school, will tell you, oh, I never listen to sports radio. I always listen to music. I get 4 hours of that a day. And yet, for some reason, I'm driving around listening to Mark Hockman. Channing, what kind of life do I have?
Like mine?
Crowder listens to Amy Lawrence at 3 a.m. I'm not even kidding you.
Pharrell and then Amy?
He does not turn this station off.
And I've got to tell you, because when I get in and I fill in with Joe or with Zach or whatever, so you're in the studio at 5 o'clock hour, something like that, that voice is like like nails on a chalkboard. I mean, the first thing Joe does when I put my headphones is, turn that down, turn that off. So between going to bed with Pharrell when I'm driving back from Heat games, you know, and him growling the whole way home, and waking up to that the next day when I'm working the morning shift, it just, I guess the old phrase, you need a voice for radio, doesn't matter anymore.
Yesterday, I know you heard me channel Hank Goldberg.
Yes.
I became Hank Man, or as I'm now saying, the Incredible Hank. I get angry like the Incredible Hulk, but in radio parlance, you become the Incredible Hank. Do you have any Hank Goldberg stories? Like, Crowder never heard it. You never heard him, you don't think?
Okay, nope. First of all, I almost drove into a canal when you did that segment because it was that funny. And again, I love Hank. He gave me my break. I used to do hours on end with him, so I appreciate it. And Hawk, you can verify this. Back in that era of sports talk, everyone was confrontational.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Jim Rome. It was Pete Franklin who started it all in Cleveland. And basically, I'm going to give you a reference here which some of our listeners can relate to. Basically, back then, everyone was Dan Cilio.
Right. Mm. It was. I know more than anybody, and if you call in, I'm going to remind you that I know more than you.
I was always amazed that people would still call in. In other words, even like with Mike Francesa now in New York, you will get emasculated, eviscerated, and yet people call in anyway. But when I called you yesterday after the segment was done, my favorite part of Hank was this. When there weren't phone calls, back then we had a sports director at the station that basically said, 99% phone calls. Don't even say hello. Just go right to the caller. Take a gazillion phone calls. That's going to be how WQAM is going to work. That was just the way the station was built. You didn't have interviews. You didn't have guests. So when people didn't call, Hank would get so mad, and he'd start going to people, what's wrong with you morons out there? Why aren't you idiots calling? And, like, I'm just thinking, like, how exactly does that close the sale? It's sort of like being at a car dealership. Listen, you idiot, just buy the car.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked. And the more he would eviscerate people like that, the more the lights would light up on that tree that is the board for calls.
And
it was crazy.
For those of us that wouldn't call, that was the entertainment. Was either A, him getting angry because there weren't enough callers,
right,
or when the callers were there, him being so unappreciative of the callers and so condescending that it was like, what is going on here? But that was he was a king of radio down here.
When we were really everywhere at that time, Hawk, it was always you morons and us morons called. It started a little quieter way back. Marv Albert and Art Rush Jr. had shows in New York, and it was very conversational and then confrontational, sort of probably for two decades became the way in sports talk radio until people realized, why are you yelling at me? And then it changed a little.
This is what people are texting in. LMFAO, I can't stop laughing after the Ira song. Y'all got problems, LOL, I love it. Ira's song is bleeping on Omar's song. It's lit. Stop. I'm laughing so hard I can't drive. Okay, I'm done. And how about this one? When Hawk turns into the Incredible Hank, he's Jew Ferrigno.
Can I give one other thing, Hawk?
Yeah.
If I do happen to say a wrong word, instead of hitting the dump button or anything or bleeping me out, can you just sound the shofar?
What happened?
That would be great. That would be great to tape an interview with you where you curse up and down, but every time you curse, it's overlaid with the shofar blowing.
And of course, to take it even further, since Channing has no idea what we're talking about right now, especially when you go to Kia, and he's like, look at you like, what?
It's just between us.
Oh, okay. Shofar.
We'll get back in soon, Channing. Don't worry.
Because the other day, I made a reference to Jackie Gleason, and I think only Ira got it. And
my son didn't know. And I asked my son, and he goes, woman? He didn't know either. So
man,
that's crazy. Yeah.
So crazy to me.
Jackie.
No idea that Jackie Gleason was a man. Unbelievable. All right, anyway, I want to talk some NBA. Sure. Ira Winderman.
That'd be nice, too.
Covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. First, Juwan Howard. He leaves the Heat's coaching staff. What does that mean for the Heat?
It means they need to get another big man in to coach their big men. And the irony is they have three of the best possibilities, and basically no one wants the job. Alonzo Mourning likes being an executive with his philanthropic stuff. He doesn't want to spend the time on the road with the team. Chris Bosh is enjoying retirement too much to commit to a travel schedule. Udonis Haslem realizes he can make five times as much as a player than as a coach, so he doesn't want to be a coach when he still might be a player. So they have all these great options to work with their big men, but right now the tallest Heat assistant coach is Chris Quinn at 6'2", so they have to move in that direction. They have to get someone to work on post-offense, post-defense. They have so many big men with Whiteside, with Adebayo, with Olynyk, you know, with possibly draft choices coming in there also. So I think that's the priority. To be honest with you, Mark Stein from the New York Times just raised a name I didn't mention, and that's Malik Allen, a former Heat player was an assistant with the Pistons, was an assistant, is an assistant with the Timberwolves, but they're changing their staff, so I think he's a possibility. I think former Heat forward Ed Pinckney is a possibility. I think they're going to start looking at sort of former Heat guys who know the system and maybe have spent some time with Eric Spoelstra. James Posey's another name to come in here and work.
And Ira, is it a, like, you know, I don't know about the assistant coaches in basketball like I do, you know, OC and DC in football, but like, is this a gigantic loss for the Heat losing Howard?
I think assistant coaches are relative in the NBA because most players are sort of formed the way they are anyway. But I think because the Heat don't have another big man on their staff. In other words, if they had lost Chris Quinn, for example, he went back to college, they'd have Anthony Carter on their staff. They'd have someone else who was an NBA guard. But because this void right now and they don't have someone, I think it's a pretty serious loss. And also, because as you know, Channing, there's always that conduit coach. You don't feel comfortable enough talking to the coach, but there's a guy in the staff you might go, hey, could you ask coach if we could try this, this, and this? Or, hey, some guys would rather practice later tomorrow because one of our guys has an event. Could we possibly start at noon instead of 11? I think they've lost that with Juwan. He was sort of a conduit from players to Eric Spoelstra. So I think they have to bring someone back on the staff where players feel comfortable enough that, hey, you used to be one of us as a former coach, or as a former player, rather. Can you work with coach? So, yeah, I do think on a couple of levels there, it's something the Heat are going to have to work through.
I asked this of Crowder. Let's take our Heat fandom out of it because I don't think the Heat is a legit landing spot. But where would be, as a NBA fan and obviously a writer like yourself, realistically, where would you want to see Kawhi next season? KD, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, or AD?
You know, I know people down here don't want to hear this. But if the Knicks are fascinating, basketball is fascinating. And just the chemistry of the two guys being mentioned to New York right now with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving with their strong personalities and strong opinions and the tabloids taking over there, I think that would be so incendiary, it would be fun. I think that would be really good for the league. I'd like to see that. I think what you guys mentioned in your opening segment today, I think LeBron's going to have a lot of trouble landing anyone because – man, that's a big personality. On one hand, it would make sense for Kawhi because no one would be talking about Kawhi. He could just, you know, sort of stay under the radar, sort of like he has in San Antonio and Toronto, and LeBron is still the face of the franchise, but I think that's more of a Jimmy Butler kind of just give me your money, you have nowhere else to spend it kind of place. The other thing is, if KD wants to sort of show people that he joined the Warriors to win with them, but now he's going to beat them, I think Kawhi and Durant with the Clippers, who could have room for two max free agents if they move Danilo Gallinari, would be fascinating also. And the third landing spot is the Mavericks right now have Kristaps Porzingis, if he stays out of trouble, Luka Doncic, and they have money for another max free agent also. I think Dallas could be fascinating. A lot of these places are sort of the anti-Heat place. No one wants to see the Knicks thrive down here. No one wants to see Mark Cuban thrive. But I think those teams are very well positioned to make major moves.
Ira, y'all are assuming that Riley can't throw the rings on the table. He got an interview with KD before he went to Golden State. Why are we just assuming Riley can't work his magic?
Because he also had the money to throw on the table. And in the KD summer, they had an entire plan worked out where Hassan would have taken less than his maximum contract and given money back for KD to come here. They don't have that money. They don't have any money. They could have $9 million in the full mid-level exception if they agree to play hard cap next season, which seems highly unlikely. You could talk about legacy. You could talk about where players want to be. You could talk about combinations. This is all about the money. And the money's incredible right now. I mean, you're talking contracts that could be worth close to $250 million. You're talking Kemba Walker has an unbelievable decision to make in Charlotte. If he leaves Charlotte, he might take $80 million less somewhere else. So when you bring no money to the table, you can have all the Pat Rileys and all the championship lineage you want. Channing, the players want their money.
Speaking of money and Kemba, what do you think would happen with Klay Thompson yesterday being left off the all-NBA teams?
Again, it's not such a snub to say you're not one of the six best guards in the NBA, especially when you have guys like Lillard and Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So that's four automatic spots right there that you're not touching, let alone with Kyrie. So I don't think it's the ultimate snub. I think the whole system stinks. I don't think the media should vote for it and be involved in how much money people make. And I think Klay has a really good point. He has, you know, the chance for five championship rings or five straight trips to the NBA Finals. That should matter also. Here's the question, Hawk. if he, it's going to cost him about $30 million with the Warriors now, less than he would have gotten anyway. Let me ask you this, though, because Channing just mentioned rings. If Klay Thompson could stay with the Warriors for $170 or go somewhere else for $200, don't you think he would stay for the $170 anyway?
It seems logical to me.
And give up $30 million?
But what I think happens with athletes like him that have never been the alpha dog, have always been looked on as, well, because they're guarding Steph, Klay's always open. I think at some point they just want, he's got enough rings, so he will certainly after this NBA Finals. Like, I think he wants to change the narrative
a little bit.
The
man.
And I don't think it'll work, but I think that I always say, yeah, why wouldn't you stay there? You're winning. What's the difference between $170 million and $200 million? But yeah, I think he goes.
You know, but I think we just changed the narrative with what we just said. We just mentioned Kemba Walker, okay? And he was the man in Charlotte, and he earned the right to get that huge contract, and he's never won a playoff series in his NBA career. So you can see that sometimes being the man on a bad team hardly is the ultimate lifestyle anyway. So if I'm a Klay Thompson, yeah, I'll give you a perfect example, guys, okay? If Kemba Walker were to leave Charlotte, they might be able to, through sign and trades, make room for Klay Thompson. So where would you rather be? Earning 30, or let's actually put the numbers out there, earning 150 to play with the Warriors, or 180 to play with the Hornets? That's the question.
$30 million a lot.
I know. But 100. You want to go through your career. You want to have a ring.
But you have $1 million, and somebody says you want $30,000 more. Yes, even though I have $1 million, I do want $30,000 more.
I get it.
Channing, let me ask you this. I'm gonna two-part question here. Who was the biggest a-hole coach you ever played for? If you don't mind saying,
Nick Saban.
Okay, you have Nick Saban there, number one. What NFL city was the city you least enjoyed visiting and wondered how players could ever play there and spend at least 6 months a year there?
Buffalo.
Okay, so if Nick Saban was coaching in Buffalo and you could make $30 million or else make $150 million somewhere else anyway, would you still go to Buffalo?
That's a hell of a question.
That's what these guys
are. It's not as easy as we make it out to be. Because there's a lot of factors in that.
And, of course, no matter where you go, you could still get traded eventually because that no-trade clause is not going to kick in right away. So you have that factor. The thing is, we always talk about the money and the difference and how Giannis is going to make $250 million. But at some point, you also have to be in a situation where you feel comfortable enough. And I just think when the money gets that high, the real smart guys realize there's a point where you can have more money than you ever need anyway. So why go through life miserable? Why play with the kind of coach who you can't stand in the kind of place that you don't want to be, maybe even with the type of teammates that you want nothing to do with?
I think we're on the same page with the Klay Thompson and the all-star votes, you know, attached to the size of the contract. I think it's dumb as well. But when they did the CBA, on the other side, why would they attach all-star games to players' contracts?
Well, it's not all-star games. It's
all-NBA.
All-NBA, yeah.
Why would they attach that to a player's contract?
Because, one, they brought it up as, hey, what's a way that we can keep players in the city and give them more money? If they meet this criteria, we'll do it. The fact that they included media voting to me is a joke until you look at the players voting for the all-star teams, in which they have voted for guys who were their friends who had nothing to do with it. I am in favor in these times of sabermetric and everything. There has to be a formula out there somewhere. I know Major League Baseball uses one. That's a better way to define, including team success and championships and all that, than just sort of some random thing, whether you make this list or not, because I'll give you the perfect example. Rudy Gobert is eligible now, next season, for a max-level extension. Rudy Gobert? I mean, that's the thing. If this formula leads you to a place like that, then it tells you it's a problem. Number two on this whole max contract thing also is, and I'm writing about this in my Sunday column for the Sun Sentinel, just because you can get offered it doesn't mean you have to be offered it. And I just wonder if a team like Charlotte, even though they can offer Kemba $200 million or so, says it's just not worth it for us, let's negotiate. I think that was the Warriors' plan all along. I personally believe the Warriors are very happy privately that Klay didn't make All-NBA so they could pay him a more reasonable number where they also know they have to pay Steph and eventually Draymond Green and who knows, maybe even KD.
Ira Winderman covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Read his work, sunsentinel.com. Have a great long holiday weekend, and we will speak with you next week.
I'd like to talk more, but I got to prepare for the Shabbat. Thank you, fellas.
I'm going to get that shofar going.
Get that shofar rolling. That was fun, man.
Can you give me a shofar CD?
Sure, yeah.
Appreciate you, baby.
Hey, you want one too, Valero?
Yeah, I don't know
get
what that is.
Get your greatest hits of the shofar.
Yeah, boy.
All right, we'll take a break here as we head into this long holiday weekend, and we'll come right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.